welcome to another podcast from Our Voice, Politics Albury Wodonga, and I'm your host, Ben Habib. Today I'm joined by a real local legend, yoga instructor and Australian of the Year nominee, Mari Jackson. In today's discussion, I pick Mari's brain for pearls of wisdom on various topics such as healthy living, decision-making and relationships, travel and cross-cultural understanding, as well as the importance of community. We cover a lot of terrain in this discussion, but what a fascinating journey it was. So without further ado, let's listen to an interview with local hero, Mari Jackson. Hey Mari Jackson, welcome to the Our Voice Politics Albury Wodonga podcast. Okay, we'll start. You're a locally renowned yoga instructor and much loved by everyone I know who's doing yoga in the region. So why did you originally take up yoga?
Well, it was through ill health in my late teens, and my mother suffered very bad migraine headaches. And I thought, oh, look out, I'm a candidate. And sure enough, yeah, they struck me down. Tried medication, everything, nothing worked. I mean, I was zapped out. But then the Swami came on TV, this was in Melbourne, and she said, oh, come and do yoga. And the side effects are good health. So I was on her doorstep the next day and signed up for teacher training, and I can't remember having a headache.
Oh, great. So the benefits were immediate.
Absolutely. Mm. Yes. Mm. Spot on. And, and I got addicted. The love of yoga, of being well and able to do the things that I want to do, like travel and classes and in contact with a lot of people. And I knew that I had to be vibrant and on the ball to be able to do all these things and enjoy my life.
Yeah, great. Yeah. So I know that you've learnt a few different styles of yoga, and there's quite a few. What ones have you learnt, and how do they differ, and what are their strengths?
Well, all yoga is good, and there are many, as you realise, many different styles of yoga. And I decided I'd go with Swami Saraswati, who is an Indian lady, trained in, you know, the really, really old classical style yoga, direct from India. And so I was with her for many years, and by the way, she's still teaching up in her 80s. And that was good for me at the time, and you know, we could sort of tie ourselves into little knots almost. with that style of yoga. Then the Iyengar yoga came along in the late 60s, 70s. And Mr. Iyengar is known all through the world. And that was very dynamic and precision work. And yes, I was into that as well. And some yogas are more meditative. Different yogas after different natured people. And so I was very, very fortunate to be one of the first people in Australia to go with the Dru yoga, which is a softer style of yoga, more flowing movement. And not to say that, you know, I can also go back and draw from what I've learned years ago, but this suits me very well now. I can teach this kind of yoga to anybody, whereas, you know, with people with neck tension and their busy lifestyle, some of the more dynamic yogas are really impossible.
A bit too demanding.
Yeah.
Okay, you talked about how practicing yoga made you feel better, made you feel it was good for your well-being. What are some of these health benefits?
Well, you're just jumping out of your skin sometimes with energy. It's an energy thing that you're dealing with here. that you are clearing all of the channels throughout your body, the meridian lines, and bringing an extra blood supply to different parts and working into all of your systems. It's an ancient practice that was usually handed down from teacher to student, not in big classes like we have these days. And the value of being so energised and so vibrant, and here I am up in my 70s and still able to do many, many things that people in their 40s, 50s are, you know, not able to cope with sometimes. But the benefits is having a clear mind, especially keeping yourself centred, keeping your energy clear, and being in balance is the main thing, I think, you know, you can't work the physical body without affecting the mind, and you can't meditate without affecting the physical body. And so one complements the other, and meditation is part of yoga, and so it's a big part of yoga. And so to capture that stillness is so important to keep centered and to be able to function without, you know, all the mind stuff taking you over. It helps you get out of your mind, actually.
Yes, I was trying to explain this to some of my first year politics students when up to exam period last semester. Right. You know, there's a lot of anxiety associated with this. Yeah. Do a bit of meditation. Yeah. You know, people have been doing this for thousands of years and it works. I got a few laughs, but I'd be interested to know if any of them actually tried it. I'm not sure. I think you've explained well why they should.
Hard to explain, and
it is.
Probably taken me a lifetime to understand just how it works, because I just do it. And yoga people are very, very accepting of everything. And we're not coming from the scientific side of things where we have to have answers for everything. We are very accepting. We're seekers, we're searchers. We look beyond square, and that is probably why I first came to yoga, because I know that there is a lot more to what I can just see, a lot more.
And it's funny that some of the advanced science now is verifying these older Eastern practices.
Yes, they're getting the scientific proof, and the yogis have known about this for many years, and consider it the norm.
So how does practicing yoga work to balance the state of mind?
Well, ordinary physical exercise works into a system, the sympathetic nervous system, and yoga works into the parasympathetic nervous system, meaning that you're tapping into a relaxation response. It's all built in there. So it's not just an ordinary exercise class of movement, getting your workout. You know, you have many other things. You have your preparation, your activation to open your heart center, to be able to do your posture work, and your sequence work that helps as an energy block release through the Dru yoga style. And then you have half an hour relaxation at the end, which that completes the therapy. And if you don't have that relaxation, there's something missing, because it's still working. I mean, you wouldn't go and have a massage and go and chop wood afterwards. You know, you would have a massage and then you would say, okay, I'll have a quieter time for the next couple of hours, because it's still working. And that is how the yoga practice
I do. That's my favourite part of the yoga session, is the relaxation at the end, and a debrief after a busy week, and cleaning the mind.
Yes, so and the relaxation is not lying down and going to sleep. It is.
No.
It is actually having the ability to put the whole body to sleep and to still the mind.
Yeah.
And that is the aim in relaxation, although some people do go to sleep, which is quite okay too. They just need it.
Heard the odd snore.
That's right. That happens.
Well, that's telling you something. You need a rest.
You need a rest.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, yes. My dear old teacher, one of the old teachers that I've been privileged to be under, always said that yoga will be the salvation of the world. And I can already see it happening now. This was many years ago, and we scoffed and we thought, oh, what's she talking about? But as it's turning out, we do need to, the busier we are, the more we need the balance of the other. And so so many people get into burnout. And this...
Or escapists.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I've always been excited about yoga because it's preventative. It's preventative medicine. It's preventative in mental health, in so many areas that you are... nipping it in the bud. If anything is stress building up, you're nipping it in the bud before there's that burnout overload by your continuous weekly practice of classes or daily practice. And I like to do a little bit each day just to keep myself, you know, that even keel and get yourself right for the day, and you certainly feel it if you don't do your daily practice. Yeah.
Yes, and the consistent effort's important, but you don't have to hammer it every day. Do you?
And yoga is always forgiving. If you slip up, okay, just start again. And we just all do our best. We do our best with what we've got, the knowledge that we have. We just do our best and try to be the best person that we can possibly be to make a difference. And that is the aim.
Mm-hmm. So you briefly touched on this, but why do you think having a balanced state of mind is important?
As I said, it's an energy thing. If you're running around in circles, and you feel as though your mind is not in balance, your energy is gone. You're no good to yourself, you're no good to other people and what you need to be doing. Mm. And so that balanced state of mind is so important to keep centered, to be able to function at your greatest capacity. Now, I've seen the yogis do amazing things. Amazing, you know, you think, well, they must have about 10 days in their week to get through all of what they get through.
Mm.
Because that energy is there and the vibrancy is there. And you can see it, you know, you can, the glow and the amazing workload that they get through. They're not sitting there contemplating on their navel at all, you know. No. That's what the concept that people seem to think about, that those yogis just sit there and meditate. Not at all. They are active people out in the community. Yeah.
Mm. So how then does this balance relate to good decision making and maintaining relationships with others?
I feel that as you develop in your practice of yoga, you have a different insight. You know that We are all connected. We're all interconnected. And what is happening in the community is affecting everybody. And so to watch our thoughts to start with, so that we can be in tune to that other person, to have the intuitive power that you do develop of how that other person is. Words may not be necessary at all for you to reach out to another person. There's a heart connection, and so we're all been in our heads too much. Now we're ready to be making that heart connection, and that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, you often people who go overseas to cultures where they don't know the language, and they find that there's a lot more to communication than speaking to someone.
True. It's a language of the heart.
Absolutely. Okay, what about your worldview? Since you started doing yoga those years ago, has that changed your worldview at all?
It certainly has. Just taking the recent political scene of knowing, having the knowing that all of this is happening for a bigger reason than we know about. All of the schmozzle, that, for the want of a better word, that we were experiencing around the election time, and knowing that we're certainly going to have a look at where Australia is going now because of what's happened. And I feel in the bigger picture that the world is closer with technology, and we are being forced to operate on a world scale, not just an isolated country. We're more together now than we ever have been. And it's about the consciousness too, that if we can watch our thoughts and generate these loving kindness thoughts, and changing the consciousness, focusing on the positive and not the negative, and the world is going to be a better place. And what happens over the other side of the world, I am feeling here just as much as they are. And so the consciousness is changing. You may not realise it, but it is changing. And probably we're more in tune than we've ever been.
Yes. Well, economists always talk about the world becoming a more connected place. So obviously that has a higher dimension than just the GDP.
Absolutely. And you need to go to countries like some of the countries that you've been to, India, and to know that we are sadly lacking in spirituality. I actually came back thinking we're the third world country, and realising that they have a lot more than us. You know, they're poor, as far as material things go. But there's something missing with our spirituality. It's like an emptiness. There's an emptiness here. There's a fullness there. And you can feel it. You can see it. And I guess with travel the way it is, we're more aware of it now. And it's wonderful, a lot of young people are travelling and they're seeing it. And they will realise that you know, there's more, there's a bigger picture here.
Yes, it definitely changes a lot about you when you go overseas.
It does.
And I found it also gives you a fresh perspective on your life back home, removing yourself from it for a while and looking at it from the outside.
That's very important. We all have to remove ourselves from, I won't say the rut, but the routine, and take ourselves away to observe other people, other cultures, more appreciation of what's out there. Because let's face it, we have our patterns, our habits that have come from our families, and you know, they may be good, they may be not so good. And so to expand our horizons is most important to get the bigger picture.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I've been looking forward to asking you about your travel experiences. First of all, I just want to tell the listeners where you've been.
I've travelled the world, and I have gone back to a lot of Asian countries because I love the people, I love the children, I love the depth and the spirituality that they have. I've been very fortunate to meet lots of amazing teachers, and I'd say India probably had the biggest impact on me, and I'm talking about in the country, the areas that there is probably amazing poverty, being on organising medical camps that people have not even ever seen a doctor. That was very moving, and being in their homes with their dirt floors and seeing these happy people with nothing. But things that stand out, visited a village, and we walked many, many miles to get there, and some of the village people came out to meet us. It may have been a couple of miles out from their village, and they arrived with water and food, and we sat in an orange grove and with all the farmers, and we had lunch there, and it was just a moment of feeling I am in touch with the earth. And there was hardly a word spoken, because it seemed to be such a sacred place with these farmers and these very ordinary basic people that some of them had never seen Western people. And as we approached the village, they were all singing, and here we are coming into the village, and you sort of felt like a VIP arriving at this very primitive place. And the women were so excited that because I was the older member, I was 67 the last time I was in India, and the women were so thrilled to see me being an older person. And they took me to their kitchen and showed me a few pots and pans.
Oh, wow, that would have been great.
That was
an Indian kitchen is something else, isn't it?
An Indian kitchen, yes, and children all gathered around, and everything had such meaning that you felt so special, and the eye contact and the heart contact, and they could not do enough for you. They were so privileged that you were there. I mean, we were privileged. And yes, that was very, very amazing. Mind you, travelling to this particular part of India, we were on the back of a truck, and the truck broke down 3 times. And nothing fazes Indian people. And when our group started singing, they were looking at us and saying, you're all queer. But we were singing, and chanting and being happy.
Mm.
Because, okay, it was in the middle of the night, the truck had broken down. So what? It wasn't, you know, nervous breakdown material.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do in that situation?
Yeah, that's
get
right.
Cranky and ruin your mood or deal with it?
And that is my approach, that you just get on with it, don't you? And these days you don't really have much control over certain things, circumstances you have no control over, you just go with it. And so that's my philosophy, to just go with it and be in the moment, enjoy the moment. Okay, it was a moment of being broken down, we were not at our destination, we were getting there, but to enjoy that moment. And yeah, being at this amazing place that we did arrive at eventually, which was right on the river, and the privilege of getting up in the morning and seeing the sunrise, it was pretty awesome, pretty awesome. And and then we did a walk around. It was right in the middle of this sugarcane plantation, and we did a walk quite often around this plantation. And at each corner of the plantation, we focused on a country, and that was very special because at that time a few countries were going through trauma. And it helped me realise that we're all in this world together and we can do so much. And one person can do so much.
That reminds me of an interesting thing I discovered. I participated in a project with National Geographic where you do a scrape your cheek and send in some of your DNA. And they trace the migration pathways of your ancestors from Africa 80,000 years ago. And one of the things I discovered from that is that all humans who are not African by descent are descended from a group of about 200 or 300 people that left Africa about 80,000 years ago across into what's now Yemen, across the Red Sea. So all these divisions between people that have developed since then are really artificial, because we all descend from the same stock of people. And that was very moving to actually see that. And yeah, so if any of you listeners are interested, I've got maps of all these migration pathways and can explain more. It's a very powerful story. What about some of the other special places you've been to?
Well, Canada, the beauty of going through the Rockies was outstanding. And awesome is the word that comes to my mind. You just felt so real. If heaven is anything like the beauty there, you felt as though you're in a very special place. And there are many special places on this planet. It can be a special place in your backyard at home. And so to really capture the specialness of your memories, there's many places that jump out at me. One is in Northern Wales, where we have our centre there, the yoga centre, and it's in the Snowdonia Valley. And we went up into the mountains, and this beautiful lake is up there. And, you know, we sat there at that lake, crystal clear, you know, and the moment, capturing the moment of all the beauty is really awesome. And to be able to bring that back into your consciousness, that's the secret. Mm. You know, you go to these places and you have the feeling and the beauty around you, and then to bring it back in your mind. And it's as you've experienced when you've travelled, to have those memories and to be able to say, well, I've been in a special place. Mm.
And to share that.
And to share spread that. The feeling, yeah. Yes, to spread the feeling, to bring those feelings back into your consciousness. You're doing a service to yourself because you're releasing things in your body that makes you feel good.
Yes, yeah.
And so it's good for your well-being.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll move on to talk about community now. And since I've been attending yoga classes after moving to Albury Wodonga from Adelaide, classes taught by Carmel and yourself, I've really loved the sense of camaraderie and community that's been fostered within the group. Why do you think is it important for people to feel part of the community, small or large?
It is so important. I can't stress this enough, because people now, with their busy lifestyles that are just coming and going, and years ago we used to have neighbours that we talked to over the fence, and that doesn't seem to be happening now.
No.
And so we are going to have ups and downs of life that everybody experiences. And for me to have a support system in place so that when I am on a downer, I know that I can talk to a trusting friend. I have a community around me. I have a support system in place before I'm on a downer. There are people that are there that are caring enough to be concerned about what's happening for me and the other way around.
Yeah.
And the classes, I'm glad you felt that they have been caring classes, that
very much so.
We do try and reach out to people and make them feel welcome, especially people moving from different areas.
Yeah, that's been great as a new person to the region.
Yes, yes, yes. And so important to have that togetherness feeling.
Mm.
Because we all need to belong. There needs to be that belonging feeling. That's part of our well-being. I mean, there may not be family backup, they may not be neighbours, friends, but that belonging feeling is so important. And if that is lacking, there's something missing. There's something missing. And so most yoga classes, they have this kind of thing going.
Mm-hmm.
Because yoga people care about, and it may not be just yoga, it may be Tai Chi, it may be some other group that I know that I need to interact with other people. That is really important, mm-hmm. The interaction. Because every person I meet is my teacher. And okay, they might press my buttons, but that's good, because I'm learning from that.
Mm.
And it's so valuable. You know, you can't find these things in books. There's nothing on this.
No.
The interaction with people has to be experienced.
Mm. I think one of the things about yoga or Tai Chi or any of those sort of meditative practices, if they make people calm, and when they're calm, you've got more confidence to go and extend that friendly hand to someone that you don't know. Or
exactly.
It's not a scary experience like it may be otherwise.
Never. Mm. And there can be lots of scary experiences out there in the world, so to come to yoga and feel comfortable is so important.
Mm. Yeah. So how then does practicing kindness have community-wide benefits?
I think I touched on that about changing the consciousness.
Yeah.
We seem to have got right away from caring for our neighbours, each other, because of the busyness, and we can all be in our own family little situations and not reach out to others. But through yoga, I've always been taught that community is so important. To be active in your community, to take part, communities are serving you and you need to serve back. To give and to receive is so important. And the people that are less fortunate, reach out to them, because it may be me in their place tomorrow. And what goes around comes around. You don't do it for this reason. But if you're sending out kind thoughts, goodwill, stopping and talking to somebody, maybe at the supermarket, somebody may touch you, and that may... I was at the pictures the other night, and there was a lady struggling to get up the stairs, and one of my sons put his arm out, and she took that arm, and when we got up to the top of the stairs, she looked at him and she said, "Thank you so much." And I was so proud of him, because he didn't need to put his arm out, but she appreciated that so much.
It would have made both their days.
Of course, yeah. Of course. And what is life about?
And it's interesting, scientists and political analysts talk about resilience in the face of, you know, disaster events or things like climate change, economic crises and so forth, to make a community be able to withstand these shocks. And so what you're talking about now is the very bedrock of that concept, is that idea of practicing kindness, and what goes around comes around. That's what makes communities resilient.
It does. It's very sad that we have to have disasters to come together. You're saying on the bedrock, yes. Preventative is the name of the game. To reach out, to not have to have a disaster, to have loving kindness, to help change the consciousness out there. We seem to have been on a bit of a downhill run, and that's the way it is. And perhaps we need to be there to get to the other side, and because everything has a flip side. And so the experience of, just preventative medicine.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, we'll wrap up now. This has been a great interview. If there's one final thought, one pearl of wisdom that you'd leave for our local area's young people, what would that be?
To keep an eye on your thoughts. To be the best you can be. Not for anybody else, for yourself.
It's not a contest, is it?
No. Keep your eye on your goals and your dreams. Don't get distracted. And realise that there is a higher power there, a source for you to tap into in the stillness, in the quietness. Make time to create that stillness. And realise that you're never alone.
Yeah, very powerful message. Thanks for that.
Thank you,
Mari,
very much.
Mari, thanks for joining us on Our Voice, Politics, Aubrey Wodonga.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.